In the book of Genesis, chapter 19, verse 14, the Bible says this, "And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, Up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law." The story that's recorded in Genesis chapter 19 is a terrible story. It's a story of sin. It's a story of death and destruction. It's a story of wasted opportunity and ruined testimony. It's a story about a man named Lot, who the Bible says was a righteous man, a saved man. He was Abraham's nephew, and he was blessed by God. But this man, Lot, made some bad choices. He made some wrong decisions. He moved to a place that God did not want him to move, the city of Sodom. It was a wicked place. It was known for the sin of sodomy. And I'll just remind you again, it's not the main point of my sermon, but homosexuality is not a choice. It's a sin. The Bible calls it an abomination in God's sight. And I'm sure the people in Sodom said the same thing that people say today. Well, it's my life. I can live it any way I want to live it. And that's exactly right, but there's a price to pay for sin. The Bible says sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. So Lot made a bad choice. He moved to a place that God did not want him to move. And he associated with people that God did not want him to associate with. He became ingrained with the people of the city of Sodom. Most Bible scholars think that he married a girl from Sodom when he got married. And he became involved in the government of the city. And a lot of people said, well, Lot had no choice. I mean, you can go back and you can read in, I think it's Genesis 17, 16 or 17, where the Bible says that because God blessed Abraham and God blessed Lot, that the land was not able to bear them together. And so they had to separate. Yes, they had to separate, but Lot had a choice about where he was going to live. And he made his choice based on prosperity. He made his choice based on convenience. When Abraham gave him the choice, the Bible says Lot looked around over on this side. He saw the wilderness and not much grass and not much water. Over here, he saw the lush watered plains of Sodom. And Lot thought, I got to make a living. I got to provide for my family. If you're giving me the choice, I'll choose the well-watered plain of Sodom. And you listen to me, when you make choices, do not make your choices based on prosperity. Do not make your choices on what? Where you think you can make the most money. You make your choices led by the Holy Spirit of God. Too many people today are making choices based on how much money they can make. And they decide where they're going to live and what profession they're going to follow based on how much money they're going to make. And as I read my Bible, I don't find those two criteria anywhere in the Bible. We need to follow God's leadership. And so Lot made some bad choices. One evening, Lot was sitting in the gates of Sodom, a place where the leaders sat, and two men came in. They were angels. But over in the 18th chapter of Genesis, the Bible, or 16th chapter of Genesis, 17th chapter of Genesis, was one of those chapters, describes them as men. But they were really angels. And Lot welcomed them into the city and said, I would like you to come with me to my house. I will give you dinner and a place to stay. These two angels declined, but Lot insisted. And so they went into his home. He made them dinner. The Bible calls it a feast. They ate. Bible says, before they retired for the night, the men of the city of Sodom surrounded Lot's house. And the Bible says, old men, young men from every quarter. And they said, bring out those two men that came into your house. We want to know them. We want to commit the sin of sodomy with them. And Lot said, no, they are my guests. Don't do it. The men of the city were enraged at Lot. They said, you're a stranger, you've come in to be our judge. And the Bible says they went after Lot. And the angels that were in the house reached out, they grabbed Lot, pulled him back into the house, and they smote the men of Sodom with blindness. And they revealed themselves to Lot and said, look, God has sent us to destroy this city. We're going to rain down fire and brimstone on this city. You need to get out. You need to go to your family and warn them that destruction is coming, and you need to tell them to leave the city now. Leave the city tonight. Don't wait till tomorrow. Don't delay. You need to tell them to leave now. And so get the scene. It's late at night or very, very early in the morning. This man, Lot, sneaks through the city of Sodom and goes to the places where his sons-in-laws and daughters are living. He knocks on the door. And I'm sure his sons-in-law would react like we would if somebody came knocking on our door after midnight. You know, we'd be a little bit groggy, and we would go to the door worried about who was knocking at the door. And they look out, and they see their father-in-law Lot, and they open the door. And he says, look, you need to leave the city. God's about to destroy the city. The city is going to be burned up. You need to leave right now. And the Bible says he was one as they looked at him and said, you must be kidding. They laughed. He said, you must be mocking. There's no way that that is going to happen. And the same thing happened at the next son-in-law house. And I don't know how many he had. He had at least two, since the Bible uses an S and says sons-in-laws. Had at least two, but at both places, and perhaps there was a third. But however many he had, they all had the same reaction. They said, Dad, you must be kidding. God's not going to destroy this city. This night is just like any other night. Sorry, we're not going to listen to you. And so Lot went home. In the morning, the Bible says that Lot, his wife, his two unmarried daughters lingered, and the angels grabbed hold of them and pulled them out of the city. And then fire and brimstone came from heaven. It destroyed the city of Sodom, the city of Gomorrah, all the inhabitants of the city, all that grew upon the ground, all the crops. Everything and everybody was burned up. And the verses that we read in the book of Luke says, as it was in the days of Lot, even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In Jude verse 7, the Bible says, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. This morning I want to speak on the subject, a midnight alarm. A midnight alarm. I'll tell you this morning that the days of Lot are upon us. Sin is rampant in our nation as it was in the days of Lot. Sin is as widespread today as it was in the days of Lot. And God sends us a warning. Destruction is coming. Punishment is coming. I'll make 3 points this morning. Number one, the earth faces the judgment of fire just as Sodom did. Bible says in Isaiah chapter 34, verse 4, all the host of heaven shall be dissolved. It says in Matthew chapter 24, verse 35, the heavens and the earth shall pass away. It says in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7, the end of all things is at hand. The Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, but the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. And one day this earth will face the same judgment that the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah faced. We will face the judgment of fire. I have some personal experience with fire. Many of you know that a few years ago we had a house fire and everything was burned up. I know the destruction personally that fire can bring. Fire destroys. Fire kills. Fire results in a painful death. And not only will the heaven and the earth be destroyed, but those that die in their sins, either in this time or before the time these verses are talking about, face an eternity of a judgment of fire. You see, I still believe that there is a place called hell, and hell is a place of fire. I don't believe these people that say, well, hell's just a figment of somebody's imagination, or it's a state of mind, or it's something that's put in the Bible to scare people. No, I believe that hell is a real place, and the fire of hell is a real fire. The Bible calls it a lake of fire and brimstone, and there is fire in hell. You go back and you read the story, and I preached about it not too long ago from Luke. Chapter 16, about the rich man and Lazarus. Many people think that's a parable. I don't think it's a parable, because in none of the other parables does Jesus name names. And he named the rich man, and he named Lazarus the beggar. And Lazarus went to hell. And the Bible says he lifted up his eyes to where Abraham and Lazarus were. And he said, Father Abraham, can you send Lazarus with just a little drop of water on the tip of his finger so that he can touch my tongue, because I am tormented in these flames. And I don't care what people have told you about hell. I want to tell you this morning that this book says it is a place of fire. It is a place of punishment. There is no relief in hell. You will not go there and stay for a while and be able to get out. You will go there and stay forever and ever and ever and ever. And every single person who dies accountable for their sins faces a hell. Every single person. Every person that's never received Jesus as their Savior faces an eternity in hell with fire. Point number two, we've been sent a warning. Sodom and Gomorrah were going to be burned up, but God said, I'm going to send them a warning. He promised Abraham that he would send them a warning. And he sent those two angels with the warning. Judgment is coming. Fire and brimstone is coming. You need to leave now. Not tomorrow, not the next day. Now. You need to get up right now in the middle of the night. You need to get your families out, and you need to leave. The warning that God sends to us come in multiple ways. God just didn't send one warning. He sent warning after warning after warning after warning. Jesus came to give us a warning. In fact, what he suffered on Calvary is the greatest warning that mankind has been given. He was the sinless Son of God. And yet, when he hung on the cross, he suffered our hell for us. You say, preacher, was there any fire on the cross? No, but he suffered the worst part of hell. He was separated from God the Father. Fire's pretty bad, but that's not the worst part about hell. You say, you mean being burned forever and ever and ever is not the worst part about hell? No, that's not the worst part about hell. The worst part about hell is being separated from God forever and ever and ever and ever. And that's what Jesus did for us on Calvary. He had no sin, and yet he took all of our sin upon himself. And when he died on Calvary, he paid the price that we owe. He was our substitute. He stood in our place. The song says, he left his Father's throne above, so free, so infinite his grace, emptied himself of all but love, and died for Adam's fallen race. The Bible says that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, should not have to go to hell, should not have to suffer the punishment of fire, but have everlasting life. When Jesus was here, he taught about hell. He told the parable that I referred to earlier about Lazarus and the rich man. He told people how to stay out of hell. I mean, every miracle that he did, and every lesson that he taught, and every sermon that he preached was a warning to the people of his day and to all mankind that read this book, that there is a God in heaven, and he will hold us accountable for the sin of rejecting his Son. And that punishment and that accountability will include the punishment of not only being separated from him forever, but going to that place and living forever in that place called hell. Warning after warning after warning. But, you know, it wasn't just Jesus. He left us this book. You can't read very far in this book even if you start at the beginning. You can't read far, very far in this book. In fact, you can't get past chapter 3 without understanding there's a punishment for sin. You can't. And then you can read it in the book of Exodus, and you can read in the book of Leviticus, and you can read in the book of Numbers, and you can read in every one of the 66 books that are in this Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, all the Old Testament and all the New Testament. And we are warned over and over and over and over again that there's a punishment for sin. There's a punishment for sin. And not only that, God put people in our lives to warn us. I've told you many, many times about my grandma and her old crooked finger sticking it in my face and telling her grandson, if you don't get saved, you're going to hell. She did it over and over and over again. If you don't get saved, I can see her face. If you don't get saved, you're going to hell. And I thank God that I had a grandma. I thank God that I had a mom and I had a dad and I had Sunday school teachers and preachers in my life that stood and taught and preached this book and didn't water it down and told me that sin was sin and that there was a punishment for that sin. And that punishment was to be separated from God forever and ever and ever and ever. You see, the world don't want to hear that anymore. The Bible describes it. You're living in a day when people they want their ears to be scratched. They got itchy ears. They want somebody to scratch their ears. They want somebody to tell them what they want to hear. And I wish I could tell you this morning, hey, everybody in this room's okay. You got nothing to worry about. When your time comes to go, God will take you to that place called heaven and you'll live there forever and ever and ever and ever. But that won't be true of everybody. That will only be true of those that are sitting in this room that have asked Jesus Christ to be their Savior. He said, I have come to seek and to save that which was lost. And I'm so glad He came looking for us. And we didn't have to go looking for Him. He came and He died. And He offers to every single person the gift of salvation. I don't know about you, I can get excited about that. I can, Brother Jeff. I can get real excited. I'm going to heaven. I mean, I'm going to go get to live with God. I'm going to get to walk on that street of gold, and I'm going to have a mansion. And I've mentioned before, I don't care about any of those things. I want to go to where Jesus is. I want to be where He is. And He offers to every single person this morning that same opportunity. The Bible says that He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Number three, as Lot was warned and then went and warned others, so must we as Christians sound the warning. You that are saved, you that know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you that have a home in heaven to look forward to, we have a responsibility. We have a responsibility to sound the same warning that Lot tried to sound or did sound to his sons-in-law. Destruction is coming. Sin will be punished. That wages of sin is death. And just like he told his son-in-laws, if you want to escape, you need to leave now. You see, tomorrow would have been too late. City was burned up the next day. They had to leave that night. They had to leave when they were warned. And we need to have the same sense of urgency and the same boldness that Lot had when he went to warn his daughters and his sons-in-law. We need to say, look, the wages of sin is death. And one day soon, Jesus is going to call all the Christians out of here. And one day soon, people are going to stand before that throne of judgment. And the book of life is going to be open. And if your name is not written in the book of life, God's going to send you into that lake of fire, into that place called hell, and you're going to live there forever and ever and ever. But there is a hope, and that hope is the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, neither is there any name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved, but the name of Jesus Christ. And the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We need to go to our families, and we need to tell them that sin will be punished. We need to go to our neighbors and our friends and the people that we work with and the people that we go to school with. And we need to deliver the same message that Lot delivered. Judgment is coming. There's only one way to escape. And that way to escape is the Lord Jesus Christ. He said in John chapter 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Hey, you know something? That's why we need to keep our testimony clean. That's why we need to come out and be separate, saith the Lord. That's why we need to be different than the world. Why do you think Lot's son-in-laws didn't listen to him? Because they saw their dad living in the sin of Sodom. They saw their father-in-law rubbing elbows with the people that sinned. He had no standards in his life. I mean, God promised Abraham if he could find 10 righteous people in the city, he wouldn't destroy it. He found 4. There's probably 8 at least in Lot's family if he only had 2 sons-in-law. Would have meant that Lot would only had to get 2 more people other than his family. But when God came to look for righteous people in the city of Sodom, he only found 4. And one of them turned around when they left the city and looked back. Now you listen to me. There's going to be people that die and go to hell because we have not been what we need to be. We have rubbed elbows with the world too long. We have enjoyed the sins of the world too long. And we need, the Bible says that we are to be a peculiar people. We are to be different so that when we go to somebody and say, look, sin is sin. It's going to be punished. The wages of sin is death. They can look at our life and say, he must or she must believe it because the way they live their life is a testimony to that truth. You listen to me. There are people all around us, people that we know, people that we will talk to and shake hands with and be around tomorrow and the next day and the next day that are on their way to hell. And we may be the one that God wants to use to reach them with the gospel. And if we're not careful, the way we live our lives will cut off every opportunity that we have to talk to them about Jesus. Sin is real. Hell is real. And Jesus is real. And if you're here this morning and you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, you need to do it now. Not tomorrow. You say, preacher, you think the world's going to be destroyed tonight? I don't know. I don't know. Say, I don't think you should try to scare people. I'm not trying to scare you. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Right now is the accepted time. If you're here today and you've never been saved, you need to do it right now. I mean, this very moment, you need to look toward heaven and say, Jesus, I'm a sinner. And I believe what the preacher said, there's a penalty for that sin. I also believe what he says, that you'll save me. Save me right now. That's all it takes. If you'd ask him, just to ask him, call upon him, and he'll save you. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that it doesn't pull any punches. Thank you that it makes this matter of sin and judgment very, very clear and very, very plain. And I pray this morning, Father, if there's just one person here that's never asked Jesus to be their Savior, they would see how serious it is. They would see how urgent their need is. And right now, this very moment, they would cry out to Jesus and say, save me. I'm a sinner. Please, dear Jesus, save me. I believe based on the promises in this book that you'll do that, dear Jesus. And so again, Holy Spirit, as you speak to hearts, to those that don't know Christ, help them to look to him. Help them to call out and ask to be saved. Father, I know most of us here this morning are Christians. Help us to understand without any doubt, without any hesitation, the responsibility that we have to tell other people about Jesus. How we live our lives is going to affect our testimony. And so I pray, Father, that we do our best to live for you, that we wouldn't let anything come into our life that would mess up our testimony and keep us from talking to somebody about Christ. And help us, Father, to understand how urgent it is for us to do that now. So speak to our hearts as Christians, Holy Spirit. Convict us of things that shouldn't be in our life. Convict us of our lackadaisical attitude. Convict us of not reaching out to people that we know need Jesus. And I pray, Father, there'd be some decisions made this morning, both by those that don't know Christ and by those that do, that will help turn lost men and women and boys and girls to Jesus Christ. Bless this time of invitation. Use it to build your kingdom. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.